Well, good morning to all of you on this looks like a very pretty day. I might actually have to go outside and breathe some fresh air and get some sunshine or something today. Let us prepare ourselves for worship. Let us begin our time of worship with a moment of remembrance. We remember fallen soldiers and the sacrifice they made for the sake of others. Let us begin our time of worship with a moment of thanksgiving. We thank God for brave men and women that have given their lives so that we may worship without fear. Let us begin our time of worship with a moment of silence, for a moment is the least we can do for those who gave their eternity. And as we think of that sacrifice, let us listen together to, in our hymnal, it is hymn number 437. This is my song. God of every nation, as we remember those that gave their lives for our sake, let us be stirred to action in their memory. We confess that we have not done all that is possible to promote peace and justice in our world. We have not loved our neighbors, let alone our enemies. Forgive us out for failing to live up to your commandments. Empower us to work for your kingdom in this world, and welcome us by your grace into your kingdom in the next. Amen. Let us not cease to give thanks to God who has seated the resurrected and ascended Christ at the right hand of the Holy One in power and great glory. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, O God, in this and every age for the healing power and work in Christ to fill our world with grace. O risen God, fill us with your power. We pray for our world, for all leaders, people, and nations, that they may exercise a spirit of wisdom as we serve the common good. Shield all who suffer from the terrors of violence and war. Bring them to safety and new life in you. Make us one family, gathered up in your love and clothed in the power of your peace. O risen God, fill us with your power. We pray for all who long to experience the immeasurable power of your love. Open our hearts to sing your praises and to share the story of your blessing, that all may come to know our living and ascended Christ. O risen God, fill us with your power. Bless your people everywhere with food, shelter, health care, and employment sufficient for our flourishing, that all may thrive together by the riches of your grace. And fill us with a joy for justice that inspires us to do our part for the prosperity of all. O risen God, fill us with your power. We pray for all in sickness or in need, that they may know your healing love and the power of Christ to bring life in the most difficult times. Keep us mindful of the hope and great power that we have in you as we offer our healing to others. O risen God, fill us with your power. We pray for all who have died, that together you will bring us to our glorious inheritance of Christ, the one who fills all in all. O risen God, fill us with your power. All this we pray in the name of him who was raised to live and reign in power for us, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, open our minds to see the power of Scripture to give life. Enlighten our hearts that we might see Christ in all whom we meet. In the name of the Holy One and Living God, to whom we give all glory. Amen. The Scripture this morning is from Acts. It's chapter 1, verse 6 through 14. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is quite a big day for us. There are several things that we draw our attention to this weekend. For the Christian faith, as we heard in our scripture reading today, it is Ascension Sunday, in which we remember Jesus' ascension into heaven. This event is among some of the very significant moments that shape our faith. and strengthen our understanding as Jesus Christ, as the Son of God. The miracles that he had performed during his ministry, his resurrection and ascension, for us solidify the holy connection between God the Creator and God on earth. For our denomination, this very day marks the 282nd anniversary of John Wesley's feeling his heart strangely warmed by the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned some last week, and as some of you may remember from the newsletter lessons on United Methodism, John had been at a society meeting at Aldersgate Church in London. After having felt deflated by the challenges in his life and feeling somewhat distant from God, he stepped out of this meeting at quarter to nine in the evening, and he felt his heart strangely warmed, and he was suddenly enlightened to the work and movement of the Holy Spirit in his life. And so this evening, around 8:45 tonight, I will take a moment to reflect on that moment in our history and to really hear what the Spirit may be telling me, and I invite you all to join me wherever you may be. All times local, of course. This weekend, we also take time out of our days to remember those who died in service to our country. Many of our usual honorary celebrations have had to be altered, but the opportunity to honor has not been taken away. In the midst of the unknown, let us remember to take a moment to honor those who made a true sacrifice. Let us remember the families of those who made that sacrifice. And let us never forget the blessings that we have before us because of the brave men and women who answered the call on their lives. And now we focus our hearts on the scripture from Acts. The book of Acts of the Apostles is often referred to as Luke Part 2. The same author who wrote the gospel according to Luke is the author that also brought us Acts. It is even possible that when it was first written, it was one large book, rather than the two separate ones that we find in our canon today. The book of Acts serves as a bridge between the Gospels of Jesus and the letters of Paul, Peter, and the others. Its placement helps us illustrate the transition of Christ on earth to the birth and work of the church. As I mentioned earlier, ascension is a very important part of our faith. It's amazing when thinking just how important it is that it only takes up a few verses. Jesus builds and builds to this moment, and just like that, it's done. This last glimpse of the physical Jesus sets up the coming of the Holy Spirit, also known as Pentecost, or the birthday of the Christian Church. The two men dressed in white that are among the disciples as they watch Jesus ascend are most likely angels, like those in the tomb at the resurrection. There are those who wonder if perhaps these men were meant to be Moses and Elijah as they appeared with Jesus at the Transfiguration. Regardless of who these men were, they had a message for the disciples. And that message was, don't just stand around waiting. He'll come back the way he was going, so get moving. For the disciples, the work looked different than they were used to. They needed to adapt and overcome their sense of normal shifted. Does that sound familiar to anyone? They returned to Jerusalem from Olivet, which is also known as the Mount of Olives. And they went to the upper room where they had shared many important times with Jesus, including the Last Supper. They went to pray and to wait. They were still in the time of waiting, in a transition and waiting period between the ascension of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit. They needed to pray and to contemplate all that they had witnessed in the last 40 days. They had been on an emotional roller coaster, and they needed to slow down and to breathe. There is a terrific reminder in these few verses, in the last words that Jesus shares with the disciples. He reminds them of this thing called God's time. There are several moments throughout Scripture that we read the lesson that God is in control. This passage can help us look at our own lives and where our own expectations and the expectations of God differ. Just like this passage is a transition in the lives of the disciples, this time is a transition for us as well. There are times in life when we cannot go backward, no matter how much we may want to. In the moments before Jesus left them, the disciples asked if now was the time that the kingdom of Israel would be restored. Throughout all of Jesus' ministry, throughout all of their time with him after his resurrection, they assumed that the restoration of the kingdom meant that life would go back to the way it had been, that Jerusalem would be the same as it had been in the time of David. It was not the time, and Jesus made sure the disciples heard one last time that all things come in God's time. Perhaps one of the hardest things to do as the children of God is to allow our Creator to work in his own time. Time constraints and timelines in society and opinions of others put a lot of pressure on us. We think we have to hit certain marks at a certain time or have to be constantly on the move. But all things move in God's time. We cannot rush it. It's easy to feel behind when we pay more attention to what other people are doing than what God is telling us to do in our own lives. When I was in high school, society had a lot of things to tell me. For example, and this is nowhere near the most important, but one of them, society told me that I needed to be married by 22 and have a lot of babies. When I wasn't married by 22, I started to feel less than. I started to feel not only behind in everything, but also out of place. All of the pressure I believed I was feeling led me down some interesting, we'll say interesting, paths, in which I made some, again, let's say interesting, choices. Although all of those choices helped shaped who I am today, I know now that had I just been more in tune with God's time and the Holy Spirit, if I wasn't so sure that I knew better and hadn't forced the square peg into the round hole, I could have saved myself a lot of grief. God's time was not 22, it was 35. And it's not a lot of babies, it's 1 9.5-year-old furball who doesn't leave my side. We see what others are doing, and we wonder why we can't do that too. And we want to be back to normal. But the truth of the matter is, life isn't going to be how it was, it can't be. Too many things have happened, too much has been altered in these last months. We cannot return to the way it was. Just as the original disciples of Jesus had to adapt their worship and their teaching, so too do we need to adapt. The pressures felt by the people in leadership right now are significant. A good leader is always looking out and making decisions to help the most people. It may seem that not every decision applies to us, but it's important to remember that we are not the only ones under the care of leadership. We, as individuals, may think it is time, but those charged with the care of many have to look at all the angles. As we commit ourselves to doing no harm and to loving our neighbor as we love ourselves and as Christ loves us. And so while we wait for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we gather as we are able, and we pray together as we always have, while we wait for the time when God tells us it's time to move. In this time, we are able to discern what discipleship looks like and how we can continue to adapt it when our normal has been changed. The disciples prayed and they waited. They did not know what it would be, that it would be 10 days between the ascension and the time when the Holy Spirit would come. They had no idea how long Jesus would be gone. They waited and they prayed because he said he was coming back. But the Holy Spirit came in God's time. And Jesus will return in God's time. Normal life for the disciples changed many times, over and over, and the work never stopped. They adapted, and they overcame. We, as disciples of Jesus Christ, will also adapt and overcome through the guidance of the Holy Spirit in God's time. Amen. May the glory of God fill you with praise, and the beauty of Christ strengthen you in service, and the power of the Holy Spirit fill you with peace. Amen.